by his name. If you're glad for what he's doing in you, give him praise and shout a little bit about it. And how many of you can imagine how it might have been if God hadn't laid his hand on you? And so we're extremely excited today about what God is doing. The prophecy's winding down. The tension is ratcheting up. Iran is just a click away from nuclear weapons. Israel says, we're not going to let you do that. And the Middle East is a tinder box, and it's connected to the whole world. And so we'll just see how it all works out. But in the midst of all of that, there's going to be a revival in the earth like the earth has never seen before. And so our business, we're interested in the political, but that's not our business. We're interested in the economic. It affects us, but that's not our business. Our business is the kingdom of God on the earth. And everything that shakes and rattles in the earth opens up a place for the gospel to plant a seed to touch a life. And this morning we're starting a new year with a day dedicated to revival. We've had a week of prayer and fasting and consecration. Last Sunday morning we baptized 6 in the name of Jesus. And I just feel an expectation in the Holy Ghost. We're so delighted that Brother Indris is here with us today. And I want him to come and I want him to take his liberty. And whatever the Holy Ghost says, I want him to tell us. Why don't you point your hand at him and say, you preach to me, preacher.
Can you give the Lord praise again this morning? From the depths of our heart, from the bottom of our soul, let's just give him praise. Hallelujah.
Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, and just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. So Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I prove him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, my precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more.
Can you sing it with me?
Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, him more. And Jesus, Jesus, precious, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more.
In knowing and understanding that the Lord is soon to return, in knowing about all the things that are going on in the political world, this thing is getting ready to wrap up. We are certainly living in the end times. We are living in the end, last days. If there's one thing my church understands, is they understand we are living in a time where at any moment something could happen that would forever change the world. They know Revelation. Some of them, I could say, are even scholars of the book of Revelation, the book of Daniel, Matthew 24. Our church is very knowledgeable of the end times and what is going on. But one thing that my church has trouble with is understanding that in the end time, there is something that the church must do. It's not good enough to just have the revelation and the understanding that God is soon to return. It's not enough to go to the job and try to one-up your coworker because you know that Iran's doing this and Israel's doing this and we're on the brink of something. There is a response to the church of the living God. There's a response to the times that we're living in that the church must respond to in the last days. And we need to pray more than we've ever prayed. We need to fast more than we've ever fasted. We need to dance and shout and praise the Lord more than we've ever praised the Lord before. Amen. It is a privilege to be here, and I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel like I have a word from the Lord. And I can guarantee you this, I've never done this in anyone else's church, especially while I was preaching. But you need to come to my church. You don't need to come to church in Chicago. Just come over to my church. That feels good. I've been in some churches where I felt like saying that, but this is the first church I've actually said it. If you're coming to Chicago, you just might as well travel down to Gary and come to our church there, and we'll keep a good eye on you. You live on the south side? Yeah, okay, you come to my church. That's only about 20 minutes away. Praise God. Grab your Bibles and turn to the book of Psalms, chapter number 20 or 77. The hospitality has been second to none. I appreciate all of the wonderful things that have been shown to me already. A little gift basket on my bed, and eating at the finest establishments, Jim and Nick's, and then the Cajun place last night. I don't know if it was the Lord that kept me up last night or that Cajun food. But nevertheless, it is good to be here. I wish my wife was here. She was unable to make it this week, but she sends her regards. There yet, Psalm 77, say amen. Verse number 13, the Bible says, "Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God?" Who is better than our God? I mean, really, what is better than living for Jesus Christ? Amen. "Thou art the God that doest wonders." Now, if you serve a God that doesn't do any wonders, you don't serve the real God. "Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people. The sons of Jacob and Joseph, Selah. The waters saw thee, O God, the waters saw thee. They were afraid, the depths also were troubled. The clouds poured out water, the skies sent out a sound. Thine arrows also went abroad." Pay attention to this in verse 18. "The voice of thy thunder was in heaven. The lightnings lightened the world. The earth trembled and shook." And so there was a display, a demonstration of the power and the glory of God, and the earth took notice to this. Verse number 19, "Thy way is in the sea, and thy path in the great waters, and thy footsteps are not known. Thou leddest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron." If you'll turn with me to one other passage of Scripture, in the book of Exodus, chapter number 33, verse number 18 through 23. I'll begin reading. "And he said, I beseech thee," talking of Moses, "show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. And I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. It shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in the cleft of a rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. I'll show you some of my glory here, Moses, but I'm not going to show you all of my glory. Verse 23, and I will take away mine hand. Thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. I'll show you a partial glimpse of who I am. partial glimpse of my glory. But Moses, it's not the time for me to reveal the fullness of my glory to you. I'm just going to show you a little bit. Tonight, or this morning rather, I want to preach on this subject, when the glory of God is revealed. When the glory of God is revealed. I feel like God is going to move in this house today. I feel like anybody that needs a healing in your body, you're going to receive a healing in your body. I believe if there's anyone that needs to receive the Holy Ghost, you're going to receive the Holy Ghost today. I believe if there's anyone struggling with addiction, oppression, depression, you're going to get delivered today in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I feel faith in this house. I feel faith in this house. I believe there will be a demonstration of the glory of God Almighty. If you believe that, I want you to lift your voice one more time. Let the Lord know that you believe that He's going to speak today. Let the Lord know you believe that He's going to do a mighty work. Amen. You can be seated in the presence of the Lord. She came to church about 3 years ago. She sat on my right side, would be your left. She came not willingly. She came to church because she was forced to. Her husband, who was a gangster for many years in the Latin Kings, which is a gang in Chicago and Northwest Indiana, he was part of this notorious gang and part of many evil deeds and things that were certainly against the law. He came and received the Holy Ghost after he said he would never receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, let alone come to church. Finally, he forced his wife, and his wife, Joy, was a woman that was misguided. She had been taught and brought up in a religion that is not a religion where their God is alive. She was brought up in the religion of Buddhism. She came because her husband forced her to. I don't know exactly what he said to get her to church, but she came. She sat and she didn't move a muscle. As we were dancing and shouting and leaping and praising God in song service, she stood only because everyone else was standing. She stared at the wall in front of her, careful not to make eye contact with anyone that may be in the building. After service was over, she left immediately and went and sat in the car until Rex, her husband, was done. She came back to church maybe once every 6 to 8 months, and it was only to see her children in a play or have a part in a Christmas drama. A couple weeks ago, she came to church, and as I began to preach, I noticed that she wasn't staring at the wall like she usually does. She actually made eye contact with me a couple different times. I began to preach, and as I was preaching, I seen that something was bothering her. I didn't know what it was exactly, but I kept preaching. Pretty soon I seen that this young lady was in tears, and something was overwhelming her, and something was overcoming her. I gave an altar call, and I was floored. Shows you how much faith I had that day. I was floored to see her get up out of her pew and walk to the other side of the church and stand in the corner with her head down. When I seen that happen, well, faith began to rise in my heart, and I had a couple people come over with me to begin to pray for this Joy, and tears were coming down her face, and I told Joy, I said, Joy, when I lay my hands on you, you're going to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. It's all over you right now. Don't fight it. Don't fight it. Don't try to even think of what this is. This is Jesus Christ. This is the one true God. This is the Holy Ghost, and you are going to receive the Holy Ghost, Joy. Do you believe that you are going to receive the Holy Ghost, Joy? She said, I believe it. I laid my hands on her, and others laid their hands on her, and she began to speak in tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. She began praying and praying and praying and praying and praying, and pretty soon that depressed, oppressed woman who never smiled or who never talked to anybody began to smile from ear to ear. She was grinning as big a grin as you could possibly grin. She was overcome with her joy, the joy of the Holy Ghost. And I believe it was because the glory of God was revealed to her that day. The glory of the one true living God. I'm here to tell you that the glory of God is in this house. The scriptures declare that the earth is filled with the glory. It's not just halfway full, but it's filled with the glory of God. The whole earth is filled with His glory. At present, this world and large, and even the majority of the churches, are not fully aware of the fullness of glory that God has or that God is responsible for. Not only are they not aware of the fullness of the glory of God, they don't understand or even know the knowledge of the glory of God that is in the earth, and not just in the earth, but the glory of God that is accessible to the church of the living God. And what I mean by that is, people come together in churches all across America on Sunday morning, and they come because they want to have good church. They want to have a shout down. They want to hear the preacher preach a little bit. I want to have some church today. But what they don't understand is that the glory of God is in the house. And what good is just having good church if the glory of God hasn't fallen in the place where people's lives are changed, people being delivered and set free? So while many churches just forsake the glory of God moving, as long as we have good songs and as long as we have good music and as long as this goes on, as that goes on, then we calculate it as having good church. But make no mistake about it, while they disregard the glory of God will be revealed in this earth. Make no mistake about it. It will be revealed in this earth. The Bible says in Numbers 14 and 21, but indeed as I live, all of the earth will be filled with the glory of God. The Bible says in Psalm 72 and 19, and blessed be His glorious name forever, and may the whole earth be filled with His glory. Amen and amen. Habakkuk 2 and 14 states it like this, for the earth will be filled. Now, I like prophecy. That is a prophecy. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. It's not just going to be a little dab or do you. It's not just going to be in Gary, Indiana. It's not just going to be in Birmingham, Alabama. It's not just going to be in Sacramento, California. It's not just going to be in the United States of America. But the Bible boldly prophesies that the whole earth will be filled with the glory of God Almighty. Not just a little bit, but as the waters cover the sea. The earth testifies of the glory of God. The heavens declare the glory of God. And the firmament showeth forth His handiwork. The wind that bloweth, the trees that wave and clap their branches together, the waves that crash against the shore, the beasts that roam to and fro in the field, the stars that cover the earth pointing the way, the thunder that shakes the earth, the lightning that lightens up the earth, the sky that shows forth the majesty of God and testifies of the glory therein. It's everywhere you go when you wake up in the morning and you take a peek out your window. You're staring at the glory of God. When you look in your backyard and you see the trees waving to and fro, you're
seeing the glory of God. When you're driving up and down in the highway and you look to your right and to your left and you see the nature, you see all of the trees and the animals and the beasts of the field, you're staring at the glory of God. It's here. It's in this earth. It's here. But is the church of the living God understanding that this really is the glory of God? And does the earth understand that this is the glory of God? Why does this earth testify the glory of God? Well, I believe that the earth testifies of the glory of God because it has to. We sing songs that the rocks will cry out if we stop our praise and stop our worship. The Bible says this, and when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen. Saying, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And glory in the highest. What they began to do is they had what you were having just a few minutes ago. Praise and worship service and thanking God for all of the things that he had done. And thanking God for bringing them out of the miry clay. And I would dare say that there's a few people in this house that have testimonies. But in the midst of all of that, they gave room for something to happen. And that was the glory of God to come in and to sweep in. I like preaching at this church because I don't feel confined to a program. It's just, let's have church. Let's do this thing. Let's let God have his way. If God shows up in the next minute and tells me to stop, well, I'm going to stop. But I'm telling you today, I'm not preaching for a response. I'm not preaching to get an amen. I'm not preaching to be your favorite preacher. I'm preaching because I want to see a demonstration of the glory of God in Birmingham, Alabama, this morning. Hallelujah. Saying, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And then there were some of those that were there, and you might even feel the Spirit on you today. Some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said, Master, rebuke these disciples. I mean, look at them. They're running around the church. They're acting like crazies. They're bumping into each other. They're dancing. They're leaping and they're slapping high fives and they're laying hands on people. I can't believe this is crazy. This is out of the norm. This is just craziness. I don't want anything to do with this. And this is what Jesus said. He answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these people hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. Why? Because there will be a demonstration of my glory in earth. Make no mistake about it. You can keep your praise to yourself. You can keep your worship to yourself. But the Bible says there will be a demonstration of my glory. I will reveal it in this earth. My glory is going to be revealed. And I'm going to tell you why my glory is going to be revealed. Because when my glory is revealed, sickness has to give way to wholeness. Depression and suicidal thoughts have to give way to joy and peace. When my glory is revealed, sadness turns into joy. When sickness gives way, or when my glory is revealed, all the sadness and depression and the feeling of being fatherless and the feeling of shame and the feeling of past guilt, all of that has to go away. When the glory of God steps in, when the glory of God shows itself, I'm here to tell you what the church of the living God needs today is we need to see a manifestation of the glory of God. I need the glory. There is only one explanation to the earth's demonstration of the glory of God, and that is humanity needs illumination. Humanity needs revelation, for we do not fully comprehend the glory of God. Humanity's mind cannot understand God's ways. Its eyes have not yet been opened to the Shekinah of God. The glory of God has not been revealed in its fullness. For lack of better words, it's hidden in plain sight. It basically boils down to the fact that humanity's carnal, worldly, selfish nature cannot understand the ways of God. Its eyes cannot see the fullness of glory. And so humanity remains in darkness. This is what you see every day when you go to your work. This is what you see every day when you walk into the grocery store. This is why when some people walk into the back door of this place, they stand there like a bump on a dill pickle because they can't understand and they can't comprehend what is going on. Their eyes have been closed to the glory of God. And so humanity remains in darkness and in ignorance of the one true God, the glorious God, the one that has glory, the one that has power. And so, since humanity is unable to understand God, we have got to let God reveal himself to us. I feel like preaching that for a moment. We've got to get off our arrogant pedestal. I'm just preaching to Phil Endress here. That I can show somebody the glory of God. That I can lead somebody to the glory of God. I might be able to tell them where to find it, but it's going to be God that does the revealing of his glory. It isn't going to be a song that I sing. It's not going to be a message that I preach. It's not going to be an outreach tactic that I do. It's going to be just me pointing the direction to God. And God will do the revealing. Psalm 77 and 18, the voice of that thunder was in heaven. The lightnings lightened the world. The lightnings, they lightened the world. They gave revelation and illumination to the world. The earth trembled when they seen this and they began to shake. Oh, I really believe that what we need in this last days, we need miracles and signs and wonders that lets this world know that the glory of God is in the house. My God, I feel like preaching. We need the dead being raised in our churches. We need the blinded eyes opened in our churches. We need the deaf ears unstopped in our churches. We need all of those that are in psychiatric wards to come to our churches and get filled with the glory of God and become normal. I was clothed and in my right mind. What we need is the glory of God. Hey, I come to tell somebody he's still a healer. He's still a deliverer. He said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. If I healed yesterday, well, just mark it down. He can heal today. If he delivered yesterday, well, you better just mark it down. He can deliver today. If he healed the dead yesterday, he can heal the dead today. If he opened the blinded eyes yesterday, well, he can open the blinded eyes today. If our image of God, if our image of God, if our picture of God includes something other than God's declaration of himself, then there is something fundamentally wrong with our thinking, and it will carry over into our actions. So what did you come here today for? Did you come here today to be slain in the spirit? Did you come here today to see the glory of God? Did you come here today to touch God? Or did you come just to get blessed? Did you come here today to be filled with the Holy Ghost again and again? Did you come here today for your sick body to be healed? Did you come here today to go into an intimate move of God's spirit, or did you just come here today just to have church? Man has never fully peeked behind the curtains that separate man from the Shekinah of God. Man has never seen the fullness of the glory or the splendor of God. But I long today to see a demonstration of his glory. I would dare say today that everyone in this place truly desires to see the glory of God revealed in their presence. Even those that don't believe. They want to either be proven wrong or right. I want a cloud of the glory of the Holy Ghost to sweep in this house and to take over.
You've been praying and you've been fasting. And I've come with the word from the Holy Ghost. It's time that the glory of God sweeps in this place and knocks all of us out. One could not desire anything more fulfilling and more powerful than to see the glory of God revealed in your life and in your church. We have words and witty sayings, and I'm guilty of using them to describe the low level revealing of God's glory. We call it good church, or good music, or blowout service. Oh my God, he preached. But what we're really trying to explain is that the glory of the Holy Ghost was revealed in a very transparent way in the house. And I submit to the church this morning that what this world needs is for the glory of God to be revealed in their lives. We don't need better programs. We don't need more conferences. You don't need position. You don't need a title. We can preach about revival and harvest and holiness and end time until we are blue in the face. But it's as if I hear the voice of the unbelievers in Birmingham. I don't care about any of that. I don't care what your title is. I don't care what your position is. I don't care what your acronyms are. I don't care what organization you're a part of. Just show me the glory of God. Before I was a preacher, I was a praiser. Before I was a preacher, I was a rich and lost sinner that was saved by the grace of God. Before I was standing behind a pulpit, I was a dirty old filthy man. I don't care about title and position today. I'm just glad I got a hold of the glory of God. I've got news for the church. They don't care what religion you subscribe to. They are not turned on or off because of your outward demonstration of the holiness of God. They want to see what the word says that they can see in the earth. And that is the glory of God. They need to be enlightened and illuminated. They need to have a revelation of the glory of God. And they are going to be hard-pressed to find the glory of God themselves. And they need someone to point the direction to the glory. And that, my brothers and sisters, is the people of God. The Lord spoke to me in Gary. I was praying for direction for 2012, and the Lord just said, listen, this is what you're doing this year. I said, what? I'm waiting for a deep, profound, big program, and let's do this thing. He said, you're going to have revival. I said, okay, what else? He says, you're going to have revival. I said, what else? He said, you're going to have revival and nothing else. I said, what do you mean? That's it. Every time the doors open, you don't lock the doors back up until my glory is poured out. What do you mean by that? Well, I mean exactly what I said. I don't know how the Lord talks to you, but I feel like a 2-year-old when I talk to him. What do you mean? Don't lock the doors up until the glory is poured out. Don't lock the doors out till people are speaking in tongues. Everybody's speaking in tongues. Don't lock the doors up till people are slain in the spirit. Don't lock the doors up until people's lives are changed. Don't you dare. I thought, oh my God. That's it? That's all? That's it. I said, what about this program? What about that program? He said, what good are those programs unless my glory is poured out in the house? The heavens declare his righteousness, and all the people see his glory. The greatest need in this world and for the world is that the glory of God needs to be revealed to them. And so it was in the beginning. The glory of God was revealed to Adam and Eve. They were in their original state, their perfect state. And I submit that the reason that they were in their perfect state was the fact that they were surrounded by the glory of God. They walked and they talked with God. They communed with Him in the garden. They experienced the glory of God. Adam and Eve are the only humans to experience this transparent glory of God. A glory that unites. A glory that harmonizes together humanity and the beast of the field. And so they were in their perfect state. Why? Because they were exposed to the continual glory of God. Of course, we know the story, and I'm moving quickly. Disobedience came in. Thus, they were separated. They were cursed and separated from the glory of God. This is the condition of humanity of today, where the glory of God is still here, but the glory of God is hidden. Adam and Eve couldn't go back to the Garden of Eden. It was hidden to them. They could no longer pay a visit to the glory of God any longer. They had to try to get it where they were at and in the state in which they now were. Their account of the garden, listen very closely, their account of the garden would be the only account of this transparent glory of God. It would be the only firsthand account of this place called the Garden of Eden. The question is, how Adam and Eve, do you transfer or communicate to the next generation that the God that was in the garden, or the glory of God that was in the garden? Think about it for a moment. They walked and talked with God. They walked with Him in the morning. It wasn't unusual for that to happen. And all of a sudden, disobedience entered in. And when it entered in, they were separated from the Garden of Eden. They were separated from the glory of God. Can you imagine when they started to have talks with Cain and Abel? Oh, Cain, Abel. Man, if you only knew what the glory was like in the Garden of Eden. I could just imagine Cain and Abel saying, well, tell me about it, Mom and Dad. And they began to tell him, oh, it was this. We didn't even have to plant anything there. The trees just brought forth naturally. The fields just brought forth naturally. You didn't have to till the ground there. It was glorious. It was beautiful. It was the most majestic thing that you would ever see. Oh, let me tell you, Cain. Let me tell you, Abel, about how wonderful it was to be able to talk with the Lord, to be able to walk with Him. I believe Cain and Abel probably heard those stories for many years. Oh, the Garden of Eden, the Garden of Eden. And then I believe probably one day, in the midst of those stories, Cain probably stood up, or maybe Abel stood up and said, hey, I'm tired of hearing about it. Take me to it. Well, we can't take you to it. I can't show you it firsthand. We were kicked out, Cain. We were kicked out, Abel. I can't show you the glory of God. I can't show you the Garden of Eden. I wish I could, but I can't. And so there was Cain and Abel. Ha! All we can do is hear about it. We can't see it. We can hear that there's this God Jehovah, this God Yahweh, but we can't even see the glory of God. The problem with the world today is not crime. It's not immorality. It's not a lack of holiness, not a lack of righteousness. The problem with the world today is the fact that they have never seen the glory of God. They haven't seen the miracles, the signs, and the wonders. They haven't seen the dead raised or the blinded eyes open. They haven't seen lives changed. They haven't seen tumors shrink right in the front of them. They haven't seen cancer just fall off someone's body in the midst of a service and give way to the glory of God. They haven't seen these things. Brother Reggie and some of the other men here were eating in a restaurant with me yesterday, and Brother Joe's restaurant. Brother Joe came to us and said that there's a lady in the building that would like to be prayed for. And I could tell that the lady was very affluent, and her husband was very intelligent. He was a chemist and biologist. And right in the midst of that beautiful restaurant, Brother Joe said, let's pray. And I said, praise God, let's do it. We went over to this fine-looking family, dressed very well. And he began to stand up and say, this is the problem going on with my wife. Jan has a chromosome disorder, and it's causing her immune system to break down. And he began to break it down like a biologist or a chemist would break it down. And as he was talking, I began to look at Jan's face, and Jan began to cry. And tears were streaming down her face, her well-dressed self, and her beautiful purse.
and all of that didn't matter at the moment. It didn't matter that she was sitting in a public restaurant eating. There was a need that was in the house. There was a need that was in the building. She didn't care at all, because in all of what she has, all she really needs is a healing. She needs the glory of God. I'm here to tell you today that what this world needs is not another lecture, is not another program. They need the glory. The glory of God. Can you just clap your hands unto the Lord if you believe it? Oh. You've got to understand that the glory of God is going to be revealed. You've got to understand that sickness works for the glory. You didn't hear me. I said sickness works for the glory of God. It's employed by the glory of God. That's the kind of response I get. That's crazy, preacher. I've never heard that before. Okay, well, let me just give you the Bible. John chapter number 11, verse 4. When Jesus heard that, he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but it's for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." Sickness doesn't even work for itself. Sickness doesn't even work for hell. It doesn't work for Lucifer. It doesn't work for Satan. This sickness here is not unto death. This sickness works that my glory might be revealed. See, everybody wants to be everyone wants to see a miracle, but nobody wants to be the miracle. Praise God, I hope she gets healed of cancer. But God, don't ever give me cancer so that I might be healed and so that I might be I might reveal the glory of God. We want to see miracles, but baby, I want the glory of God to be revealed. I don't care if it's through me, if it's through him. I want. And so Moses comes to the mount and he says, "Show me. He's already seen the plagues being poured out on Egypt. He's already seen all of these wondrous miracles and signs and wonders that God has bestowed upon him and his people. His stuttering has been healed. His leadership abilities have been restored. He's leading people. He's seen the miracles, the signs, and the wonders of God. Yet he goes to this mountain and says, 'Show me the glory.'" How many of y'all seen all the wonderful miracles that Moses had seen? I haven't seen it like that. Yet Moses wasn't satisfied. He said, "Show me the glory." And the Lord said, "Oh, okay, I'm going to pass by, but I'm not going to show you the fullness of my glory. You're only going to see my hinder parts, my back parts." Can you imagine with me for a moment here what Moses was thinking when he asked the Lord that, like the Lord was depriving him from seeing his glory? I mean, the Lord led them out of Egypt. He took them to the sea. 2 million souls took them to the sea. There was an army that was after them. He stretched forth his rod and a sea began to part. And he's talking to the Lord like the Lord hadn't done anything for him yet. "Hey, show me your glory." The sea parted. They went over on dry ground. The enemy came into the sea. It was swallowed up by the sea. I would say that's a pretty good manifestation of the glory of God. And he says, "Show me that glory." I mean, he takes them up into a mountaintop. He gives them the commandments, the law. "But I want to see your glory. Haven't seen your glory yet." Because that should be the continual state of humanity. "Lord, show me your glory. Show me your glory. Show me your glory." You know, the Bible says that all of Israel left Egypt. The Bible says this, there was not one sick among them. Not one sick among them when they left Egypt. Yet, before they went into Canaan land, all of them, Brother Sutton, had died. All of them had died, except for a couple. All of the people that were firsthand witnesses to the glory of God in Egypt, say two or three, were now dead and gone.
Think about that for a moment. They're now in the same state as Adam and Eve. Oh, let me tell you about what happened in Egypt. The Lord sent this, and he sent that, and he battled for us, and he did this, and he did that. Can you just imagine people tired of hearing the stories finally saying, well, I want to see it for myself. You can look at Noah. I know Noah's before Moses. Look at Noah. I mean, the Lord talked to him and said it was going to rain. Lightnings and thunders, I'm sure, were happening before the rain. God told him it was going to rain. He built an ark. All of the people seen this, but the only account that we have of the ark and the rain is Noah and his family's account. Eight people's account of what happened. Only eight people could really talk about the glory of God in a firsthand experience. I believe for years upon years upon years upon years from the beginning of time that the glory of God has been partially hidden from this world. And the Lord made the church, that's us, you and I, your pastor, yourself, the church in Birmingham, the church in Gary. He has brought the church together for one specific reason, and that is for us to reveal and to point in the direction, people in the direction that they may be able to see the glory of God in this last days. The Bible says in Acts 2 that they began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. God divided the people in the Old Testament with a language and brought them back together in the New Testament with tongues. It is through voices and sounds and lightnings and thunderings that the church brings the sinner back into communion with God. All have the same inheritance. All have the same inheritance. One city, one place, heaven, streets of gold, walls of jasper. But before they see that, there must be a demonstration of the glory of God. The Bible says in Mark chapter number 16, verse number 17, and these signs shall follow them that in my name they shall. God has already authenticated himself. He must now authenticate this church. And only he can do that if the church begins to make some thunderings and lightnings and noises and say, God, I want your glory more than anything in my life. Praying last night, writing these words down, this is what I felt like the Lord, I hope this is okay, Brother Seddon. This is what I felt like the Lord gave for this church, is that the time is now. Turn to your neighbor and say, the time is now. The gates of hell cannot prevail against this church. And I believe very strongly, Brother Sutton, that in the next two years, that you can see more people filled with the Holy Ghost in this church than you have in the past 25 years. I see this thing as a culmination of prayers and fasting, of Bible studies taught that were received and Bible studies taught that were not received by those that were in attendance. I see this as a culmination of services and preaching and praise and worship and tears that were shed upon this altar and the church building before this church building. I see this as a culmination of people that have come in as sinners and are now strong and mighty men and women of God. I believe that this is all coming to a point right now because we are living in the last days, that your best years are ahead of you. And that's easy. That's not Phil Endress. That's the word of the Lord. It's going to happen. There will be revival. But something has got to just click in your mind here. What you've been praying for and what you've been fasting for is here. It's not going to be here tomorrow. It's not coming next week or next month. It's here right now.
No.
No, I'm telling somebody today, your prayers have been heard. The Lord has heard your prayers. It's revival time right now. Some of y'all are believing me and some of y'all still aren't believing me. You think I'm just coming here to get you hyped up. I'm not coming here to get you hyped up. I'm not coming here to say something that you're just going to be happy with. I'm coming here and telling you what I feel in the Holy Ghost. There is a changing in the atmosphere from 6 months ago when I was standing behind this pulpit. This church is ready. This church is primed. This church is on the move. You better watch out, devil. You better watch out, Satan, because the church is cutting. And we're not coming just to have good church. And we're not coming just to sing pretty songs. And we're not just coming to have a big building. We're not trying to do those things. But we are having church every Sunday, every Wednesday. You have church on Wednesday. Every time we come together, we want the glory! Who is sick in your body right now? Raise your hands. Raise your hands if you're sick in your body. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Put your hands down. Does anybody have a terminal illness? One person.
What's it?
Okay. Is there anybody here that doesn't have the Holy Ghost? Raise your hands. Everybody has the Holy Ghost. Well, then everybody's going to get healed today then. I believe that God is wanting to show forth His glory today. I mean it. I really believe it with all my heart. I believe that God is wanting to show forth His glory today. Not because He wants to authenticate my ministry, but because He wants to authenticate Himself. He wants to show forth who He is. And there might be others that are dealing with illnesses of the mind, depression and oppression. You can't stand being by yourself. You feel depressed all the time. You're feeling with shame. You're filled with shame. You're filled with past guilt and fears and failures. I know that somebody like that is in this house. Can I just tell you that the glory of God is here? I can feel it. And you can be delivered right now. I'm telling you, in 4 months, in 3 months, in 5 months, whatever it is, this building is just not going to be big enough. If you believe what I'm preaching today, it's not going to be big enough. Somebody needs to lift your hands right now. I don't know what the Lord is going to do, but I think we need to lift up our hands and we need to let the Holy Ghost just fall in this place. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. 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 You want to see the glory of God revealed? Last Sunday, we asked in our church if there was anyone that needed the Holy Ghost, and there was about 21 or 22 hands that were raised. They were invited to come to the altar. We had a guest preacher there, and he really didn't even preach. He just got up and testified. And he asked all of them
to stand in a row. And he said, I'm telling you right now that the Lord is going to fill everybody with the Holy Ghost that wants it. And when he said that, my whole church said, that's right. We believe that. And when they said it, I believed it even more now. And my God, it's going to happen. We laid hands on all of them. 17 of the 21 received the Holy Ghost. The other four, I don't think it was because God messed up. I think it was because they didn't understand what it was all about. 17 received the Holy Ghost and 9 were baptized. And what I felt in my spirit is the Lord just tapping me on the shoulder and saying, see, I told you, it's revival time. It's revival time. My God, when I walked into Target the other day and I bumped shoulders with people that were in the line to check out, I just thought, my God, you're fixing to be a new life in a few days. Something's going to happen. When I walked into the restaurants and I seen the people's faces, all I could see is that they were going to be a new life, that something was going to happen in their lives. A few months ago, I was preaching at the Rock Church in Sacramento. As if we could stand, please stand to our feet. I'm done. I was preaching at the Rock Church in Sacramento, and Brother Young and I we had just flown in from some other place. We were preaching, and we flew in together, and he was driving me to the hotel. It was late. We were tired. I was ready to get to my room. I was ready to lay my head down on the bed. I had a big bag that I had to check, a couple different bags, because I was staying for an extended period of time. I went into the hotel room, and Brother Young, seeing that I needed a little help in carrying all my bags, he said, let me give you a hand. And we went up to the room, and I'm deaf, so I can't hear much, but Brother Young heard something coming from across the hall. And he heard somebody at 10:30, 11 o'clock at night in a room say, oh, Jesus! He said, Phil, come here. And right across the hall, I put my ear to the door. Jesus! Hallelujah! I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. As soon as I heard that, I said, this is not coincidence. This is not coincidence. God did not put me in that room right there for me to sit out on the sideline and just listen to somebody calling out to the Lord. I knocked on the door. No answer. Jesus, he was praying. I knocked on the door again. I wasn't going to stop. Still no answer. Brother Young's like, well, he probably just don't want to be bothered. Man, I'm telling you, this is not a coincidence. I'm knocking again. As I knocked, I said, sir, this is not hotel security. My name is Phil Endress, and I'm a preacher of the gospel, and I heard that there was a prayer meeting in this room, and I want to pray. Praise the Lord. He opens the door. And when he opened the door, I looked at his face. Man, I think I know this guy. And I couldn't put it together. He said, hold on. He said, what I'm really doing right now is I'm having a prayer meeting on the phone. There's 300 people on the phone. It's a phone line. I'm the leader of the meeting. I'm on the phone. He said, you're a preacher? I said, I'm a preacher of the gospel. He goes, I want you to pray over us. Will you pray over us? I said, I'll pray over you. He said, call this number. Hurry, hurry. Call the number. Call the number. So I get in my room and I get on the phone and I call the number.
And I hear, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Saints, listen. Pastor Phil Endres from Gary, Indiana is here with us. He just knocked on my door in the hotel room, and he's going to pray over us. And I said, in the name of Jesus Christ. Sickness and oppression and disease, you've got to go. I command it in the name of Jesus Christ. Faith was building. I prayed for a little while, and then I handed it to Brother Young, and Brother Young began to pray a powerful prayer over everyone on that line. I began to think, hallelujah. Just a moment ago, I was thinking about laying my head in the bed, and now I'm praying over 300 people. After the phone conversation, we signed off. He came into my room. I said, Pastor, I'm so glad to meet you. And I said, well, this is Pastor Young. He pastors in Sacramento. I said, why are you here? He said, I'm preaching tomorrow at a church in Sacramento. I said, so am I. I'm preaching at his church. He said, my God, really? I said, brother, you look so familiar. I said, what is your name? He said, my name is Elder Campbell. I said, Elder Campbell? I said, what is he? Are you related to Elder James Campbell in Chicago? He said, that's my uncle. I said, I worked with him for years at the gospel radio station. I said, I know who you are. Your uncle is one of the most influential pastors and preachers in the Church of God in Christ. He goes, that's him. I said, my God. What they are is a Trinitarian Pentecostal organization. It's the largest Pentecostal organization in the world. And I said, bro, will you do me a favor? He said, what? I said, come with me tomorrow morning. I know you preach at night. Why don't you come with me tomorrow morning? And so they came. When I say they, he called up the preacher that he was preaching for. And they brought all kinds of people, and they filled up that whole row. And I scrapped the message that I was going to preach. And I preached one God, and his name is Jesus. Hey, forget about trying to impress people. This might be my only time. The fullness of the Godhead dwelleth in him bodily. Everybody in that house knew what I was doing. The preachers knew what I was doing. Brother Young says I was like a little pit bull that day. But I wasn't going to stop. After service, the wife of the preacher that Brother Campbell was preaching for came up to me and says, Pastor, I just want to let you know something. I said, what's this? She goes, I'm going to be baptized in Jesus' name. Elder Campbell came up to me and said, listen, he said, Doc, and this guy, man, he big guy, he could preach, he could sing. He said, let me tell you something, where me and my uncle differ. I said, what? He goes, I'm baptized in his name. This thing here is bigger than this local church. There's Church of God in Christ. There's Baptist Church. There's Methodist Church. There's AME churches in this city that are going to be wholly converted through the efforts and the prayers and the glory of God that is found in this church. Hear me now. Hear me now. Hear me now. There's going to be pastors that come out of the word work and want to connect to you. Because there's something different here. They don't have it in the church. They love God. They want to know God. But there's something that you have and this church has that they want to get a hold of. And it's the glory of God. Can you raise your hands if you believe it? Let's not stop till the glory of God falls in this house.
There's me more of you is what I need.
Oh, show me your glory.
I need your glory.
If I can have everybody that is sick in your body to come up to the front of this altar. Everybody that's sick in your body, come up to the front of this altar. If there's anybody needs prayer for your mind, oppression and depression are not of God. It's time to get delivered completely, fully today. The glory of God is here. Now all of us as a family come in and gather in behind all of these saints. It's time to let the glory fall. It's time to let the glory fall in this house. Every person in this house needs to leave this house speaking in tongues. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Come on, lift your voice to heaven. In the name of Jesus. This sickness is going to go, that the glory of God may be revealed. In Jesus' name, let faith fall in this house. Let faith fall in this place. Ho-ho! Let the glory fall. Somebody needs to let the glory of the Holy Ghost just take over in your life. Take over in your body. Come on, come on, come on.
So many times I've tried my way.
Throw out any distraction right now. Get your mind focused on Jesus. In Jesus' name. Come on, let's let the glory fall. That's it. Come on, let the glory fall on you, man. Come on, young man. Let the tears fall.
Show me your power.
glory.
I want your glory.
Want your glory. Oh.
Less of me and more.
That's it. That's it. Come on, don't stop till the glory falls on you. Don't stop till you. Don't stop. Don't leave this place until the glory of the Holy Ghost is on you from the top of your head to the sole of your feet. If it's appropriate, put your hand on your neighbor and begin to pray for them. Men with men, women with women. That's it. Let the glory fall. Let the glory fall. Get your breakthrough right now. You don't have to wait.
I need your glory.
I need your glory.
I want your glory.
Oh, yes, I do.
Less of me and more of you is what.
Oh,
show me your glory.
Show me your glory. Yes.
Show me your power.
That's it. That's it. Come on, you're on the verge of a breakthrough. That's it. Come on, keep pushing. The glory's going to sweep in this house.
Hallelujah.
In Jesus' name. I need your glory.
I want your glory.
Woo! I feel it breaking.
Less of me and more of you.
Devil, you're defeated. The gates of hell will not prevail.
Show me your glory. Show me your glory.
Let the glory sweep through this house.
Less of me and more of you.
Oh, it's what. Oh, yes. Come on, it's the time. It's the time. It's revival time. The glory's going to be revealed. Cancer's got to give up. Diabetes has got to give up. Depression's got to go. That's it, that's it, that's it. Come on.
Show me your glory.
Show me your,
show
glory.
Me your glory.
Show me your power.
Oh, show me.
Less of me and more of you.
More of you. Let the glory of the Holy Ghost fall. Oh,
show me your glory.
Show me your
power.
Show me your power.
Less of me and more.
More of you is what.